Did you notice the background? Like there is none. It's kind of foggy. You know, in the Proverbs where it says, Ecclesiastes, where it says, what does it say? Help me, Paul. What's the vanity? Vanity. Vanity is like not a good translation of that word, I found out from my Jewish friends, from the rabbis. It's more like vapor. It's called hevel. It's like vapor. So you could see it, and you can kind of touch it, but not really. But if you try to go like this, what happens? But it's not that there's nothing there. There is something there. But you can't grab it. It's vain to try to get it. I guess that's kind of where they got the translation of that. So that's what this is saying. The God who sees. And what I want to talk about is how God, I just like want to walk around everybody, but probably will at some point. God sees your life. I don't mean God sees like, I saw that cigarette the other day. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he sees your life. He sees your heart. He sees your struggles. He sees when you're going after him, but you're really having a hard time. He sees when there's trouble in your family. He sees everything. He sees the good things, but I'm talking about now the struggles. He sees the struggles. But sometimes it doesn't feel like he sees the struggles because we might not have any signs that we're aware of. You know, maybe somebody comes and gives a prophetic word and it's right on. I mean, I know at least one person here who said that was exactly for me. I mean, I heard it myself. The word that was spoken in a little prayer time in the frontier went right to them. So God sees, and this comes from the book of Genesis, where you have Abraham and Sarah, and to Abraham is promised the nations. It'll be like the stars of the sky. The nations are going to hear this. The nations are going to hear this gospel. I think, I'm pretty sure even in the New Testament, it talks about the gospel was preached to Abraham. You know where that is, David? I don't have it at the top of my head. Good enough. It's in, oh, Billy knows. Okay. It was the good news that it wasn't going to be just this nation that was going to come out of Abraham, but it was going to be all the nations of the earth. All the nations of the earth. So this plan that Abraham's going to make Sarah pregnant is not going very well. God even speaks through a messenger that was probably himself and says, this time next year, you're going to have a child. And she doesn't believe it. She doesn't think it can happen. So she has this wonderful, terrible plan to take the servant named Hagar and have her husband sleep with that woman, and that woman will bring the child. And it happens. And she's pregnant. And Sarah is very angry. Like I think any woman would be like, what the heck did I just do? Right? Wouldn't you be thinking that? I know Abraham must have been thinking that. And then he treats Hagar very, very poorly. She treats Hagar very poorly. And she leaves. She runs. She goes into the wilderness, it says. And she's heading back to where she came from. But she's in the wilderness. And while she's in the wilderness, it says the angel of the Lord, or an angel of the Lord. And that's a messenger. Well, it could be the Lord himself. And this seems to be the Lord himself when he's speaking, because you'll see he's speaking in first person. And he says to her, Hagar, where are you going? And where did you come from? What does it say to you? He already knows. He's asking her. And this is like a longer version of what Jesse's been talking about for 6 months now, what the Jews call the cosmic question of God. Ayesha, where are you? He knows where you are. He's asking if you know where you are. Where are you? So he's saying this to Hagar in a different way. Where are you going? Where did you come from? And then he says, well, we know her story, right? She's like, no way, I'm not going back there. But these words from the Lord. And then he says, return. And she does. Because it's not like it looks like. It looks like I got to get out of this thing. It can't be any worse. Are you kidding me? I was impregnated by somebody who's not my husband. Now his wife is mad at me. Now I'm in the middle of the desert, whatever else is going to happen. And he says, go back, return. And she does. Does that sound familiar? I don't mean the whole story, but just our lives. Like, are you kidding me? That's what you want me to do? It's almost like that's how God does it most. He doesn't give us these easy things to do. Forgiveness is a big example of that. Forgiveness. Forgiving people. Reconciling with people. Not so easy. So this is the title, so that we would have that in our heads while I'm speaking, that God sees. He's the God who sees. El Roi. The God who sees. Try to think about that. Maybe even say it to yourself. Maybe even say it out loud when there's no one around. When you're in that situation where you're pondering and you're going, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm looking at faces right now that I know you're going through things. You've talked to me about it. But he is watching. He's fully aware, right? He's fully aware. So I want you to, you know, a lot of you guys like to write things down, so go ahead and write them down. But if you don't write them down, really try to remember what we're doing here. The God who sees, he sees everything, he knows everything. He's for you. When I say that, that's not light on sin. I'm just saying, when I was at my worst, David Blackstone and I had a couple of long conversations this week. I was so bad, I never left this office. I was like, oh, we've been here like 3 hours. But I couldn't stop. It is so great to connect with you at that level. I've known you for a long time, but I don't know you like I know you now. And we had a lot of similarities in our lives, a lot of stories that overlapped. No, I forgot where I was. See, that's what happens now. He's for you. Yeah. He's for you. That's what I was saying. I'm not going light on sin. He showed up in the midst of my sin. When I was at my worst, he tased me. I used to crash to the ground, but I think I'll hold off now. I mean, I went down, just like I got tased by a law enforcement officer. And when that happens, everything just stops. It hurts, and you can't do anything except crash. And that's what I did. And then he spoke to me tenderly. And when I got up, I was a completely different person. Completely different in every way. Every way. This is the God who sees. He does see what you do that you know you shouldn't do. But when he's doing that, he's also wooing you to himself. He doesn't take it lightly, but his loving kindness woos you to himself. And I don't care who you are, myself included, you know when God is saying something to you and whether you should obey or not. You know it. You know the voice I'm talking about. Just be careful when you say no. Be careful. But what I really want you to do is rejoice when you say yes. So last night, I had a dream. Day like once or twice a year. And my wife, Isabel, is the one that gets to hear all the dreams. She didn't hear it today, though, because I was out of the house shortly after we went to bed. But here's the dream. Like I said, I have it once or twice a year. I'm always somewhere in this dream where the same person shows up. And I delightfully bump into him. And he's the president, the highest executive in a corporation that I once worked for. And when every time I saw him in the dreams, and then when I wake up, when I see him in the dreams, I just get this feeling of, oh my gosh, there he is. First time, I couldn't believe it. I'm just talking to him. He's British, so he has this really beautiful accent. He calls me Rob. Rob, like rubbing alcohol. Rob. So we delightfully bump again. And we greet each other. And this happens in everyone. And then he has something to say. He always says something that's short and simple. And every time, this is the company your father worked for, David. So you know the person I'm talking about. Every time I wake up with a tear in my eye, saying, I know I didn't really speak to him. I was speaking to the one who sees, who worked through my dreams to tell me something. Did you ever have a dream where God told you something? Did you ever read of him in the scriptures? Where they have a dream, some of them are strange, some of them are an angel. This happens to be this man. So what I remember is where he offers me on a little tray, it's a wrap and it has fresh seafood in it, Michael. Shrimp sticking out the end. And he just said, he just went like this and we ate it. And we ate the little wrap. And after we ate that, he looked at me and he said, Rob, rest. Rest, Rob. And then I woke up. I think I was crying. Yeah, I was crying. What do you think speaking to me? I think it's really him? Can't be really him. It's a dream. God is speaking to me. And he's making sure I get the message. Rest, Rob. Every time I have this dream, he tells me something that's really needed for me to hear. Now, I want you to really think about this. This is not the conscious realm, right? I'm not a doctor. I don't know if you're a doctor. You can talk to me later. But you're unconscious. You're in a dream realm. Let's just say that. You're in a dream realm. I'm asleep. Like, you could stand next to me, and I wouldn't know you were there. You could probably talk softly. I wouldn't know you were there, unless God allows me to know that you're there, or does something miraculous, and like he did when I had surgery. You guys know that story. I'm not going to go there. I am asleep, and God is talking to me in a dream. That's not unusual, right? Everybody agree? It's not unusual. Here's the thing, a little bullet point to remember. What is the average good amount of hours to sleep in a day? 8. Everybody says 8, right? How many hours in a day? 24. Tom Bucalo. Got to make sure you get a real smart person. What percentage of a day is that?
3 1/3.
See, so add that up. How old you are and how long you've been asleep. That's not an insult. That's just saying God has designed it where that much time your body doesn't even know what's happening. So a little side note, watch what you think. Watch what you let go in your little eyes. Where's Mrs. Litwin? There she is. Right? Little eyes. What comes out your mouth, where your hands go, what's in your heart, and where these feet take you. Because you can't go anywhere unless your brain tells your feet to go there. He's speaking to us when we're not in our conscious realm. Make a little check mark. I'm going to make sure that I'm guarding all those things that he told me to guard. And that's also in the scriptures. I'm going to guard those things. Because if you don't, what goes in, whatever it is what goes in your brain, in your mind, in your dreams, what you want to do when you wake up the next day, where your feet want to take you. But if you focus on the one, you focus on the one, you focus on the scriptures, and focus on a few other things I'm going to say right here, which most of us don't even think about, you will begin to hear him in your dreams like you never did before. You will pray that when you're going to sleep. Lord, give me holy dreams. You can't say that if you're letting your members be in other places, but you can say that if you do. You know what? He will. He will give you dreams. He will speak to you. We should ponder our dreams. We need to hide them in our heart because he may be speaking to us. Now listen to this one. This is like one of my favorite ones. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament displays his handiwork. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. The voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to all the earth, and their words go out to the ends of the earth. What? Didn't that sound like a contradiction? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament displays his handiwork. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth. Huh? Can you turn the lights out for a second? All the way out, everything out. That's the other way. You don't know how to get them all the way out?
I do.
Somebody in the do it in the foyer. Just push the button.
Oh yeah,
we'll do that. Hey, well, okay. Don't do it. Don't do the foyer. I want you to see. It's okay, Todd. It's not a big deal. Just
I'll get it.
That's all right. We got time. Here we go. So sometimes our sky is like that. Out west, it's definitely like that. Much, much more vivid. But just stare at it. Do you hear the voice? You don't hear it with your ears, but you hear it. Every night when I go outside, whether I'm putting out the garbage or bringing out my dog, I look up into that sky. I don't care if it's foggy and I can't see it. It's still there. That's just Hevel. That's just, it's in the way. But that is there. It's the glory of God, it says. Why is it the glory of God? Because even Tom Buchlow can't make that. You can't build that. You can't make the sky have stars in it. Nobody can. Nobody, it's even hard to explain. And out there, we're finding out that there's realms, there's dimensions. Like, we shouldn't be surprised. We're in them all the time right now. We're alive, we're in this world, the world that you can see and touch. The temporary world, the one that's more real is the one that's eternal. And they're like this. And we live in that. And he wants us to hear in that. We live in a day when you have to hear in that. But let me tell you, I'm not against conferences. I'm not against prophetic words. I'm for all of that. Or books. But if you don't practice what God says right here, like this is first grade, but also master's degree, go outside and look in the sky, and you will be undone. Don't just peek. Stand there long enough where you're in awe. One night I did that, and I was actually struggling. I was asking God, this was at least 20 years ago, more. I lived in Mechanicville. Let me say Berg. That's in Florida, I think. Mechanicville, over here, on top of a hill. I was so sad because I had mentors, but they were all like on videos or in books. But I didn't have a flesh and blood mentor. And I asked him that question, please give me a mentor. And then I just was about to say, my lips were going to say, please show me a... I didn't even say it. And a shooting star goes across the sky. Psalm 19, like practice it every day. You can do it during the day too. Say hi to the sun, to the light that lights the day. The greater light that lights the day. And when you see the moon, you know, I know you're not really saying hi. I don't think it's alive. But you're honoring God. You're the lesser light that lights the night. When you do that, you're having communion with God. Now, let's just really be honest. Have we pretty much forgotten that? Or are there a bunch of people who go, I do that all the time? Not so much. But you know what? After today, yes, yes, yes. It goes perfect with the prayer and fasting. You want to set yourself up to hear God? Go outside and look into the sky. Look into the sky. Here's another one. Proverbs 6. It sounds funny, but it's really not. Consider the ant, you sluggard. I won't say the rest. Consider the ant, you sluggard. So what do you have to do that? You got to do this. And then you get way down in the dirt and you watch the ants. When's the last time you did that? Somebody said something. What'd you say? I did it out here once, and I had to bring it to my devotional in the staff meeting. because it was an anthill. And I was just walking past it, and I went, and then I got down. Then I got down really low as I could get. Thank God we don't live in Florida where there are fire ants, and then you're in trouble. So I'm just watching, and these guys are coming out of that hole with these big chunks of dirt or whatever it was, sand. They were like little earth movers moving dirt. You don't think that really rocked me? Like, I stayed there a long time. And I'm thinking, I know you said we should consider the ant. Meanwhile, you got my niece who says, Mommy, can I have a spoon, please? She goes, here, honey, and gives her a spoon. She goes back outside and goes, she's whacking all the ants. Remember that, Isabel? Her mother's like, no, don't do that. But we do that lightly, but actually it's a creature of God that he wants you to consider. He wants you to consider. Why? Because you're going to learn something, and he's going to speak to you while you're looking at the ants. I'm telling you, you want your inner man to just go, start doing this stuff. It's not hard. We just forgot. The reason I didn't forget is because I go to preschool. When I go to preschool, I learn everything. Here's one more proverb that Pastor Paul made sure I knew, so I thought I'd share it with you. It's pretty short, but there's a lot to learn. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. Finished. Did you ever hear that one? It's real. He showed me. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. David's laughing over there. But he's showing us something.
What about me?
That's what they're talking about. You're not a giver. You're a where's the... Oh. Michael, did you know this one? You did not, see? We don't really turn to it too quickly. It's rich, right? Rich verse. Which verse? I thought you said rich. Paul, which verse? It is rich, too. What is it? 30:15. Again, think about it. First time you hear it, it sounds funny. Matter of fact, I cracked up the first time he told me. Because Paul really acts it out. He becomes the leech, and the way he says it, give, give. You know, he has a way of doing it. But it's not funny. It's not funny. And you realize, oh my gosh, how easy it is for all of us to be the leech's two daughters and just stingy and just looking for stuff, right? Sometimes we're that way when we have, where's Paul Raimondo? When we have food in Reynolds Hall. Like, are you one of the ones as much as you can? Or do you ever say, I'm going to go last? Do you ever say that? You don't want to be a leech or a leech's daughter. So there's good ways to practice these things. But I'm saying all this to say, God is the God who sees. And he loves when we think about the leech. I mean, come on, the Gospels and Jesus, of course. But all of this stuff is manifested in him. He lives it perfectly. He understands all of it. Matter of fact, he wrote it, but he's the Word of God. Right? He wants us to live these things out like this. He speaks to us in all types of ways. The more we practice, the more we hear. I'm going to tell you one last story here. I'm going to read something short to you. I have to talk about a story and a storyteller, and there's no way I could do it like her, but I'll just do my best. I'm not going to tell the story. I'll tell you what it's about. It's a book that Mrs. Litwin, anybody ever hear of Mrs. Litwin, Julie Litwin, teacher at our church, she just happens to be here with her husband Scott today, so just stick your hands up. You don't have to, like, make a speech or anything. So she invited Paul and I into the classroom a few years ago to read a book. She opens these big children's books, and we all sit with the kids. And the name of the book is Pout Pout Fish. Anybody ever hear of that? Oh, you heard of it because we read it here.
That's right.
Right? Julie read it here. She read it here. You're going to want her to read it after this. So she reads the story of Pout Pout Fish with, what would you call it, animation? That's incredible. Like, every picture just makes you crack up. So Pout Pout Fish, well, here's how it goes. Pout Pout Fish, I'm a pout pout, this is what he says. I'm a pout pout fish with a glub glub face spreading dreary wearies all over the place. And that's what he's one of the, I don't know what the real fish's name, but it has, you know that face? Anybody know what fish that is? Julie, you probably know. You don't know? Oh, you are in trouble. But it's a real fish. You'll see them inside fish, you know, people that are showing you their fish. So there's little sea creatures that come up to Pout Pout Fish, and they'll say things like, "You look so mean." I don't remember what the words are, but right, they're all just, and he goes, "I'm a pout pout fish with a glub glub face spreading dreary wearies all over the place." Next page, little octopus, next page. It just goes on and on and on with the same thing, but by the time you hear it for the fifth time, you're just cracking up. But the pictures are really, really amazing. But you're not ready for what happens at the end. And I didn't know that when Julie was reading it the last time we heard it, not here, well, it might have been the same time, she was going through some kind of crisis. Let's just say that. Like, if I said, "Who's going through a crisis?" we'd probably have a lot of hands, but I'm not going to ask you. I had a crisis this morning. So you get towards the end of the book, flip the page, and there's this little fish, right? This little fish sees Mr. Pout Pout and swims up, gets close, and goes, on the side of Pout Pout Fish's head. And all of a sudden he goes, he flips upside down, right? Because he's Twitter-pated real quickly. He flips upside down, and what does he have now? A big smile. He has a giant smile, and I don't remember what he says at the end. I'm a kiss-kiss fish with a kiss-kiss face spreading cheery-cheeries all over the place. Okay, so she does this in the staff meeting, but much different than the way she did it in the classroom, because we're all adults, we're all her friends, brothers and sisters, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she's just beautiful the way you brought it into reality, not just the book, about your heart and asking us to pray. Later that day, she sends a text to me and Paul. And she says, I can't remember it exactly, you might be able to find it, but it says, "Fellas, can you believe this? Look who's in front of me. Let's see if we can see it. This is the actual photo. Bring the lights down, though, if you can do that. Yeah. See the line of cars? See the car in front of her? See the license plate? Kiss, kiss. Now listen, you've got to think like a law enforcement officer. What's the probability of her pulling up behind a line of cars that are stopped in the street and the car in front of her on the license plate, the car in front of her, not over here in the parking lot, the one in front of her that has to stop, it says, kiss, kiss. God is watching. Every single detail. He saw that tear. He saved that tear. And he has it in heaven. Because he says he keeps them in a bottle, I think David says. And I don't know if it's a real bottle, but it's a very serious thought that every tear you cry, he's aware of. And I lost it when I saw that. I don't know what state that's from. Looks like it could be New York. I don't know. But even if it was, I think there's only one kiss kiss in New York State. Is that the way it would be? It would be only one. So it's still one in millions? How many? 18, 20 million. But if it's out of state, it would be even better. What's that person doing right in front of her? How did that happen? Think about it. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe it's a heavenly vehicle. It's from Ezekiel. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it's not impossible, but it's... What's that phrase? Statistically improbable. Statistically improbable. If you were Julie, how would you feel when she saw that? You could put the lights back on. Would you lose it? Yes, you would. The very thing that you're thinking about is on somebody's license plate right in front of you. So I want to, before I do that, I'm going to say this, then we're going to pray. Michael, can you come up here? Michael. Kind of goes. I went out to lunch with David Morse, first time in a long time, just difficult trying to get together, but we did. Sitting at the diner, finished our lunch, go out to the car. He's walking past my car, he looks at my car. And somebody gave us, not gave, sold us that car when my car, the engine seized in the parking lot here. We used to come from Queensbury all the time, and I didn't believe in oil. I believe in it now, right. I'm a believer. And I had $3,000 to buy a car. And this person says, well, I have a car. I said, I have $3,000. You have a really beautiful, almost new car. And the person said, well, let me pray about it. And then a few days later, she says, you got a deal. And I said, come on, $3,000, you got to be kidding me. She goes, no, not $3,000. $1. $1. So David says, have you heard from her recently? This is Thursday. What date was Thursday, Isabel? The what? 8th? January 8th. I said, no, I haven't heard from her in a while, but we once in a while get a text back and forth. But I hope I do. Like to have her come back and talk to us. Just have a nice lunch. I go to the mailbox the other day. Postage stamp, January 8th. handwritten to Rob and Isabel everything we needed to hear. This is not a reconciliation, something wrong. This is somebody who's hearing God and says, matter of fact, Rob, rest. It's like, I mean, she didn't say that, but rest is in here. He's calling you to rest. Everything that we needed, right, Isabel? We were both going, you just cry. Because you're like, there's no way. There's only one way. He sees, and she prays, and she hears. And she spreads cell phone, honey. I want to read you this text from a rabbi, Rabbi Gerfein. Michael and I know him very well. Thank you, honey. He would crack you up because he doesn't have a kippah, a yarmulke. He has a Yankee hat. Hold on. He sent this today from Israel. Our goal should be to live life in radical amazement. Get up in the morning and look at the world in a way that takes nothing for granted. Everything is phenomenal. Everything is incredible. Never treat life casually. To be spiritual is to be amazed. And then he writes the rabbi that it came from, and Michael knows this guy, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Herschel. So can we stand? Father, it's our prayer that we would remember and we would return to some of these simple things that you put in front of us, like an ant and a leech and a sky at night or even the day, so that we could hear your voice. The heavens declare the glory of God. You want to see the glory of God? He lets you peek at it every day, if you want to. Or if you don't believe it, you won't. But if you believe it, you will look at it every night and say, blessed are you, Yahweh our God, King of the universe, King of the cosmos. Never gets old. Let me tell you, you'll get a tear every night. Pray that we would have our hearts wide open again to simple things that are cosmic. And we're looking for cosmic things in the wrong places. Every life you save the world. Every person you're kind to and love affects your neighborhood. It really does. They don't even have to know. This is cosmic. Father, may we be the people that you called us to be. May we be the light of the world. The light of the world. In order to be that, it has to be other people. So we be it here, and then we go out in everything that we do. Our jobs, our visit to the doctor, talking to the garbage man. Be the light of the world. God will speak to you. He will kiss you when when you least expect it.